Hey, it's getting cooler. Boy, that was really happy. How many worked out in the 90-some degree? I did some yard work, and I thought God said, you don't need to do that. No. Man, I'm telling you what, I looked like a drowned puppy out there. It was something. Hey, I want to tell you something that is happening, and we didn't give this to Ron in time. There is, out on the Welcome Center, there's a shoe drive fundraiser. I don't know about you. Anybody have extra shoes? I mean, shoes, in not the ones that have holes in them that you wear on Sunday because they're holy, but just shoes. Anyway, we're helping people. These shoes are going to be shipped overseas, actually. And so there's information. There's that out there. And we're going to have a box here. We're going to be a drop-off center. So we're just, you know, just, again, wanting to do anything we can to help people. It says collect gently and used new shoes from September 1st through October 31st. They accept all types of shoes, boots, sandals, etc. Aspire raises money for every pound of shoes turned in. Shoes are shipped overseas where individuals are trained with business skills to run their own small business, micro enterprise. Your shoes are in need of inventory, for used inventory for these new business owners, I guess. The employees of these new shops are now able to provide stability for their families and their communities. So it's a win-win. You get to clean out your closet and give somebody a good pair of shoes. And here's what the book looks like, Pastor Gary's Kingdom Thoughts. If you are new today and want that, that is a free for you, and hope that that helps you. So are you doing all right? Okay, you got through my wonderful shoe announcement. It had a lot of soul. I really felt good about that. Well, we've been talking about living whole, and it's been, you know, my whole heart is to show you things that I have found that God has shown me that work. I mean, I went to church all my life. Most of us did, grew up in church. I mean, if I didn't go to church, my mama's sitting back there, she'd have took me in my pajamas. Now, she threatened to, but I knew she probably would if I didn't get up and go to church. But anyways, I'd get to church and I'd find out things that would happen. And then people would be, oh, wasn't it a good service? And it was a good service. I mean, it felt good in there. And I didn't know how to apply anything the preacher was talking about. I'd go home thinking, how's this work for me? My whole heart is to put things on a shelf where we all can get them and we can go, you know what, this will work. Last week I gave you three things. I don't know if anybody tried those. Three things if you've been fighting things in your thought life, and that's where the enemy is, isn't it? Battle between your ears. And it works. I mean, I've done it, so I know it works. And so I gave you three things that will help that battle. And God has just been so good. We're going to continue. This is week four. I've got one more week in this series. But we're going to talk about a little bit of the plan of redemption. Let's welcome our online crowd. God bless you. We got people watching from different states and different places. So we've talked about the Word of God. We've talked about that healing has already been done. Jesus went to the cross, provided for our healing. It's already been paid for. That's an amazing thing. That's something like I never grew up knowing that. I mean, just I thought I always had to, if I... Squeaky wheel gets the oils. You ever heard that phrase? If I beg loud enough, maybe God would finally hear me and something would happen. But the finished work of Jesus on the cross, just getting into that revelation knowledge, getting into that redemption has already been provided for. The healing has already been paid for. And that's what redemption is. It just pays for the things that we've done wrong. That's what Jesus was. He's our redeemer. And because we have been redeemed, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Before Calvary in the Old Testament, God still healed people. It's not that healing was never present, because God loves what he created. He loves people. He loves his creation. And Jesus went around healing people all the time. That's what he did. And that's why people followed. They saw results. They didn't see just the Pharisees and all the political churchy, they just saw love, and they saw it in action. Acts 10:38 says this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now, we got to understand this. When Jesus was walking the earth, he was limited. He's God in flesh, but he's in human form. He's not omnipresent then. This is where he's at. And so we understand that he had some limitations being human, but he is always looking to God. He was limited in his body. He was limited in time, space. And so this is what Jesus did. Now think about this. He's got a message to tell and he needs to get help. So he goes out and he recruits 12 dudes, 12 guys. And these are all, these are like the backstreet word. I mean, these are guys, they're not all like the sharpest knives in the drawer on some of them. You're thinking, why did he pick this guy? When he knows, because he's God in the flesh. Why did he pick this? You know, one's a doctor, one's a tax collector, one's a thief. I mean, and one's a doubter, and we all can, you know, understand that. But 12 guys changes the world. And listen, then he goes and gets 70 more, then 120, and then he recruits you and me. This thing just can't be put out. If the enemy, the Bible says, if the enemy would have known what was behind what God was doing, he would have never pushed the crucifixion of Jesus. He would have never pushed the cross. Because you can't put this thing out. It's impossible. When Jesus went on the cross, everything changed. Now, he went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil, and he did all of these wonderful things. But when you first turned, I don't know when they do this now, but John, you might be able to tell me. When did you get your first notice that says some credit card company wants to? You now have credit. Maddie got those. She never saw them because I tore them up. Because they came to my house. I'm like, she doesn't need that. credit will get you to do things that you might not. If you don't know how to understand credit, I first got a credit card. It hasn't affected me. I first got a credit card. I was, in my own apartment, got a credit card, and like, bought a microwave, bought some other stuff, because my intention was, I'll have all the money when that's due. And life comes, and sometimes that doesn't always happen. But Jesus did things. He healed people, and people were like, that's crazy. How is he doing that? Because everything changed. He knows he's going to the cross. He went from the cradle to the cross. He knows why he came. God had given him authority over all the enemy. How many knows that? Say amen. Jesus had all power. And when he goes and gets crucified, he gives that authority to you and I, the believers. That's the new covenant. He would, by his sacrifice, was the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. See, credit's the ability to buy something when you don't have the cash. But you know, in a month, you're going to get a notice that says, you owe this. You can't pay for anything you've done wrong. And sometimes we've done things and we kind of think we do it on credit. But Jesus already paid for it. And he's already put his life down for it. When Jesus died on the cross that day, that bill got paid. All the sins that Brett Gleespen ever did got paid that day, 2,000 years ago. I wasn't even around. But he paid that in advance. Is that amazing? It's just a matter of believing God, asking him, Lord, I believe that happened, so is your will that I be healed? I never was taught that. It's me believing and you believing what God already did, what Jesus already did, and receiving what he did. And that is tough because we live in a world that doesn't think that way. We grew up not thinking that way. Everything is not that way. But in the kingdom, it's that way. In the world, second place is first place loser. In the kingdom, that's not how it is. The first can be last. I mean, the kingdom operates in a whole different schedule. The world says hoard. Get all you can, put it in your can, sit on your can, don't do anything with it. Jesus says give. Mark 11, 23 and 24. Assuredly, I say, who's it say? I say to you. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done. He'll have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. He's telling them, I gave you authority. You need to use it. And we said last week, we spend all of our time telling God about our mountain. We should be telling our mountain about our God. We have the authority. In the New Living Translation, it says, I'll tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up, thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. It tells us we must really believe. We must believe we receive when we pray, not when it shows up. Why? Because anybody can see it when it shows up. It's believing before it shows up. Jesus is saying this, I know it will be given, not it might be given. He's saying, if you believe, it's going to happen. It's a done deal. I get flack from some of that. People are like, yeah, but you know, you never know. No, you might not never know, but God knows. And I have to line up my thoughts with his. And I'm certainly not God. Certainly not anything close to that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, if he said it, that settles it. Remember, I talked to you last week, my sister, and, you know, we have to do something, and we'd get an order from mom or dad, and I'd be like, I ain't doing that. My sister would say this, two words, dad said. I got to do it because dad said. Or if mom said, or, you know, if dad was smart, he'd say something like, ask your mother. And I've learned that that's important. You see the married people, you raise your hand. You. So on this side of the cross, we're not just wishing, we're not just crying, we're not begging. We're not trying to get God's attention. He loves you. He has his eye on you. His principles, his kingdom, the laws, they work. We don't have to try to motivate him to hear that. You know, oh, God, please hear me. You know, if you have children that are, daddy, 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 daddy. And you finally just want to be like, yes, I hear you. But we don't have to beg God. He hears us. If God gave you a gift, would you receive it? We have to rest. It's paid in full. The check has been written and drawn on. Jesus said, if you can believe it, you can receive it, you'll have it. I've got fruit that says that's true. You'll see the manifestation of it. You'll see that come to pass. Come on, somebody. It is just standing and believing, but I'll tell you, it's not always easy. Because from the time that you're believing God, whether it's a healing or finances or a situation, and the time that it shows up, that meantime between the amen and the thing shows up, that's the battle, isn't it? That's the tough time. Did you unwrap it? Did you get the gift? Do you believe it? Have you ever just been somewhere and just liked to watch people? My dad, he loves to watch people. Now, we'd be, you know, mom and dad worked at Disney World. Now, that was fun. Because as kids and my kids, we got to go to Disney World because they earned somehow credits and they'd be like saving us. And so that's how we got to do that. So it was great. But he just loved to sit at a bench and watch people. You don't really have to go clear to Florida to do that. You can go to Walmart. Sometime in any of this experience, somebody had, you know, whatever there had gotten in front of the mirror. And, you know, somehow they looked in the mirror and said, this is good. And you're thinking, no, it's not. I mean, I've been in places with my boys when they were still living at home and saw things. And I'm like, oh, Lord, okay, I'll see if I can divert their attention. And I'd be like, oh, look at that, guys. Have you seen that kind of candy before? Whatever. And Zach, you know, if you know Zach, he was our drummer when we started church. He lives in Dayton right now. He looked over and he just looked back at me, head snapped back, and he goes, Dad, I said, what? He goes, that's just wrong. Can't help that, son. So let's just be, God bless the, you know, it is what it is. But Jesus, he, you know, he observed people. Of course, he's Jesus, and we need to be like him, but he just loves people because obviously he created people. He observed them, but at a deeper level. See, we're people, and we make judgment calls just on what people wear or what they look like or whatever. Jesus is looking beneath that, past that. He's looking at heart levels and that kind of thing. And he's using really, I mean, he's God in human form, so he's using his five natural senses, his natural ability to see and hear. He's listening. He's watching to see if they're operating in faith. But he's also trying to connect with the Spirit. He's listening to his Father. When I pray for people, I try to do the same thing. I'm trying to listen to what they're telling me. I'm trying to hear what their heart is saying and trying to stay connected with God so that I can hear if the Lord wants to say, encourage them about this, or you could do this, or here's what I want you to do. I mean, we are human, so we have that natural ability to listen, but we also have to understand there is a spiritual side. See, the problem with most of the world today, most of us can't, you know, how about that scripture that says, be still and know that I am God? Most of us cannot be still. We struggle with it. We can't just sit there. If we're at home, we have to play there's nothing wrong with having a feel-good movie on or something like that, you know, I get it. But whatever happened to just listening to that still small voice of the Lord, just being still? I don't know if I have any hunters here. I know I have some. Anybody like to hunt besides me? Being out in the woods and just, you know, you have to be quiet, especially if you're a deer hunter or a squirrel hunter or whatever. You just got to be quiet. And if you sit there after about 15 or 20 minutes, if you have camouflage on or whatever, animals just, I've had squirrel run around my shoes and, you know, look up my leg and on my pants. Not look up my pants. I mean, put their paw on my leg, you know, and then they realize I'm not part of the tree, and then they scratch that. See? You know what I'm saying. But anyway, you can hear things. You can see birds. You can notice things. We forgot in this culture what it's just to hear God's voice, just to be quiet and just see if he says anything, or just to worship him and just be like, I love your creation, God. You're amazing. When I pray for people, I'm wanting to know, do you believe that you receive? When we pray, did you believe you received it? Or are they still saying, oh, I know, but? Are they still asking or begging? If you receive it, then you have it. So you have expectation. Are you believing it? If you believe it, you have it. It just hasn't got there yet. People have asked me all the time, hey, did you sell your house? It's in contract, by the way. It's supposed to be out less than a month. So, but, you know, even months ago, I'd say yes. They'd say, oh, wow, who bought it? I don't know. I haven't met him yet. But see, to me, we've already prayed. We already released. We already received. It was sold. So I have to watch what I say. Do you ever watch what you say? So how do you know this? How do you know you receive something? So that's what we're going to kind of talk about. It's only going to take a few minutes. You can believe Jesus is a healer. You can believe he's given it to you. You can believe that healing is always the will of God. He wants you well. He wants you to be able to pay for your bills. He wants you to walk in his word and in his way. He wants all that, and that's great. But it doesn't automatically mean you receive it. You have to make a draw on that stuff. Faith is voice activated. I pray for people, lay hands on them and pray for pain to leave. And we're doing it every week, and we're watching pain leave. We're seeing healing come. We had somebody last week. Their back, they come down. I can't move my back. Can't do this. We prayed for them. Gone. Now they can move. Other people are like, can you do that? Still hurts. Do you believe it's God's will? I believe it's God's will to heal me, but... See, this is what I'm asking. Did you receive it? If you did you catch that? If you receive it, you have it. That sounds so simple. It's kind of complex. Yeah, it hasn't showed up yet, but you have to receive it before it shows up. Brett, you mean when the... even if the pain's still there, did you receive it? I got it. You might say, you're nuts. What's new? This is understanding, God, I'm going to walk this kingdom thing out. If your will says I'm healed, I'm healed. My body will line up. It has no choice. Do you know when you accepted God, His Spirit came inside you? You're one-third Holy Ghost. Think about that. Your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, you know, you get all that? Your soul, body, spirit. Spirit's already covered. So if you make up your mind, what the Word says, that's why you got to stay in the Word. You have to get the Word in you. If you can get the Word in your mind, you're two-thirds majority now. The body's going to follow. Did you get it? I'm going to get my mind. If God said it, that's it. I had to walk and pray for people. I can't tell you what you do because I'm just telling you me. I had to go to the hospital and pray for people, and I threw my back out. I mean, I don't know if it was from working out or whatever, but I mean, I was just like almost Tim Conway, you know, just kind of. I walked into the hospital on the second floor, rode the elevator up, praying every step, had to come from my car to the parking lot, every step in terrible pain. And you say, well, that doesn't sound like God. God didn't put me in pain. I got to get my receptor in. So I'm just declaring what the Word says. So I grab some scripture and I'm just saying it out loud and I'm commanding my back and my body and my nerves and the tendons and the swelling to go down. I'm speaking to everything because faith is voice activated. I didn't even know what I know now. I had people stop me and go, are you okay? I don't even know who they are. Can we help you? Don't touch me. Where are you going? I'm going to pray for people. That's a true story. But you know, before long, I'm not walking like that. I'm walking like this. And then I'm walking better, and I'm walking better. Why? I didn't go to the doctor. I didn't get it. Well, I went to Dr. Jesus. But I had to get it in my head. You know, this is what we need. We go to a doctor, you'll take your medication, most of us. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with because the doctor prescribed it, and that's what they do. And if you believe, you know, it's okay to go to a doctor. There's nothing wrong with that. I already addressed that. But let me just say, you want to take some medication? How about the Bible? Take this pill. It's the gospel. Take it 3 times a day. What mountain are you facing? Find the word in there. Revelation 12:11 says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and, come on, the word of their testimony. I'm going to get me a word and I'm going to take that. Not just because I want to hear myself say it, but I got to get it inside me. I had somebody ask me the other day, what do you mean like inside you? You have a favorite movie? My favorite movie of all time and the favorite series of movies is Rocky. Absolutely. And people could say, and I can quote Rocky. As a matter of fact, Glenn just sent me an email last week and said, what was the name of Rocky's dog? Butkus. Hey, yo, Butkus! What do you put me through, Adrian? You know, I mean, I just quote the whole movie. I've watched it over and over again. I have it where I work out. Why? That's just one of my favorite movies. But my point is, I got that in me. Because it's a favorite. It's something that I connected with and I liked it. It made me feel like the underdog. It made me feel, I'm watching it more now. Why? Because I want to get skinny again. So that's what I'm doing. One of the things. Is that the gospel? No, that's not the gospel. That will never take the place of the gospel. What I'm telling you is, get the gospel inside you. And that's what will come out. I'm asking people, do you have the title deed? Did you receive what you're asking God for? Let me say this. If somebody was to pay off your house and you have the title deed and the bank calls and says you owe this month's payment, you'll be quick to respond, hit the road, Jack. and don't you come back no more, no more. Wouldn't you? Because if they did that, you'd be like, no. You know, we just had this happen, and I'm like, I already gave you that. They ask, did you ever get the forerunner paid off? I said, I never even made a payment. It's already paid off. We need that documentation. I already sent it to you. I'll send it to you again. I have the title and everything. You see, the world works that way. God's system's different. I mean, when you start walking with the things of God and you start seeing God move, and people come from the world and try to say, hey, you still owe this, and you're like, no, I don't. You could say this. You don't pull on Superman's cape. You don't spit in the wind. You don't pull the mask on the old Lone Ranger. And if my wife was here, you don't mess around with Kim. So how do we know we have the title deed? If we're looking for a healing, that healing is ours. If we're believing, Lord, I need some help with some of these bills. How do we know we have that help? We prepare, we get ready, we want to understand, we want all that stuff. How do we connect the dots? Because I don't know about you, but sometimes, just like I said when I started, when I'd leave church, it seems so easy when we're in here. And then when we get out, we go, what did he say again? Did I miss that? Now, obviously, this will be on the website. You can watch it over and over and over again if that's what you want to do. But I want to help connect those dots. There's things that have happened to me that I know without a shadow of a doubt that healing was mine. But it all is based on the Word of God. It all is based on believing what the Word says. And the enemy, that's what he comes. He comes for what? The Word that you're trying to put in you, he comes to steal that. And how does he steal it? Your mind. That's why I told you those three things. Let God give you a plan or a strategy. Strategy. Oh, he's homeschooled. Yeah, it was the better decision I've ever made. A strategy to defeat the already defeated foe. How about joy? If you believe you received, doesn't that make you happy? The Bible says, the joy of the Lord is my what? My strength. Sometimes we start in the natural and we end up in the spiritual. We got to somehow get ourselves in that. If you ever watch an athlete before they go out for a game, they're in the zone. I don't know what other preachers do, but for me, I usually don't spend a whole lot of time talking to a lot of people as much in the beginning. I mean, I'll stay and talk to you whenever after, but in the beginning, but you know why? Because I'm in the zone. I'm trying to get my mind where I'm just stayed on what the Lord wants me to speak about. See, the connection in faith says, I believe I receive when I pray, not when it shows up. Faith always has that moment of release and that moment of reception. So I don't need to have a pity party. Why me? Why me? God's already answered my prayer. I can have joy. I had somebody ask, and I think this is a great question. If we've asked already for something, do we have to keep asking all the time? That makes sense, doesn't it? I have to keep asking because it hasn't showed up yet, so I keep asking. Here's my answer. I think you ask. You don't ask because you've already asked. If you believe you received when you prayed, you change now. Instead of asking, you're thanking. Does that make sense? Father, I just thank you. I thank you. You've already taken care of that. According to your word, according to the blood you've died for me, you provided for me in every area, not just my healing, but in financially and mentally and socially and physically, all of those things. Well, I want to just thank you for that. And this is what, I don't have it out here with me now, but I'm going to, you know, when we receive offering today, I've got more seed to sow. You know what? I've received it today. I don't know when it'll show up. Listen to me, that's not my job. My job is to pray and believe and receive. His job is to get it all. Does that make sense? So when instead of asking for the same thing, Father, I thank you. I believe. I would put, what are you standing on? What scripture? Most believers, when I ask them, they don't have a scripture. They don't know what they're standing on. Philippians 4:19. Okay. Anything else? Oh, you know, and they come up with another one. Well, I think Jesus will change. Well, according to Hebrews 13:8, he doesn't change today, tomorrow, or forever. So that's probably not a good one. You can't change the word. So you stand on what the word says. Father, I thank you. Your word says that heals me. If you're the God that heals me, I'm healed, and I receive it now, and I start walking it out, and I start picturing myself totally healed because I have received it. So then I can start being happy instead of when I grew up, people would walk around, I just wish God would take this away from me. I just hated that. I'm like, or, you know, somebody say, well, God killed this person in cancer, and he did this, he did that. No, God did not. And so I have to give that to the Lord. Do I know everything? No, I do not. But I do know the word says that's not him. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, not God. You see, when our mountain becomes now our opportunity. You see, David fought Goliath, and people said, Goliath, he's too big. You can't beat him. David put his rock in his sling. He said, he's so big, I can't miss. You see, this is perspective. This is looking at whatever that mountain is, and you look at what does God say about your mountain. Tell your mountain what God says. Picture changes. Your hope changes. You start seeing yourself winning. Once we get into our new house, I'll probably change the screensaver on my phone. What will it look like? You'll think I'm weird. It might be a picture of me thinner. My wife would be watching now saying, I wish you wouldn't say that. But see, I got, I got my house on phone now. Why? Because I want to put that picture in front of me so I can thank the Lord when I see it. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father, for what you've already done. I don't even live there yet. But that's been the process for this whole time. I want you to understand something. You have to start seeing yourself as not the victim, but the victor. When you start seeing yourself, God, I'm on the winning side. You have already provided this. Then it changes kind of your mood. It changes your outlook. Whatever the mountain is, if you're having this problem, then see that problem solved. What would that look like to you? Start looking on the spiritual side, the inside part. Because if you look on the inside and see things that God wants you to see, it changes how you see things on the outside. You know, peace settles in. Rest in the Lord for his finished work. You just have, like, it's happening. I don't know when, but it's happening. Your answer isn't in people. Your answer is the word. People can get the word and give it to you, like I'm trying to do now, and that's wonderful. But you got to apply yourself. You got to get that word in you so it's part of who you are. Not just because I said it, but because you know it. Make it real to you. Put action with your faith. When you receive your healing, how do you know? Because you're resting. Does that make sense? You're not worried about it. And people tell me, I've had people tell me this. I don't know how to meditate. Do you know how to worry? If you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. Because that's what that is. I mean, you can, but you have to change that to rest instead of, and will those thoughts come? Yeah, he's got to try. But you have to take those thoughts captive. And you have to speak the word of God. So for me, you know, when 4 years ago I had a heart attack and all that stuff, and the enemy comes out and says, she'll find you here. You'll be out in the woods and she'll just find you. You'll never live in that house. You'll never, and fear. And I tell you just have to start speaking to those thoughts. And I say, what I do is those three things. I speak to them out loud. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17, hearing by the word of God. I speak. I will not die. I will have a long life. And he will satisfy me with long life. I will honor my God. He protects me. He goes before me and behind me, and I speak against that. Then I bind the spirit that sent it. You spirit of fear, you spirit of death, I bind you in Jesus' name. And then I praise him. And those thoughts go. They just go. Do they come back? Because he's an idiot. Sure they do. But you just keep it up. And if he wants to keep bringing stuff back to you, just start pouring it on. Pretty soon he's like, okay, this just turns on the faucet for this guy. I'm going to leave him alone. You know it's done. That's how you can rest. Let's pretend you're up to your eyeballs in debt. Some of you are like, it's not a pretend. Some of you are saying, that's not too hard to imagine, Brett. But you have trouble sleeping. You have all these things. You want to start a business. So you go get a loan for $100,000. And you go and you get it from your uncle that's a millionaire. Well, let me change that. You get it from a friend. You're going to go get the money. The uncle's the answer, so hang on. Yeah. I got ahead of my story. You get it from the friend, $100,000. And the deal is you're going to pay it back in a year because you believe the business is going to take off, not going to be a problem, you're going to pay it back. A year comes and you don't have the money. The business has not done what you thought. It's actually tanked a little bit and you are really in some serious trouble. So you're having some trouble sleeping and all that. You don't have the money and now you're not eating well. I mean, it's affecting everything on how you respond, everything. You're grouchy, you're irritated, you're impatient, you jump to conclusions, you're hard to be around. You start thinking, okay, I got to get another job. I got to work two or three jobs. And that's the earth curse system. That's how we think we'll ever get out of debt, we'll ever save money. We all got to work two or three jobs and we got to do all that. That's not how it's going to happen. That's not God's way. I'm not saying it's not wrong to have two jobs if the Lord tells you. You can do that, but there are better things that he can give you and strategy. He can give you your own business or whatever. But anyway, toil and sweat, you're going to work that way. But then there's a rich uncle that you know that's a millionaire, and God puts on his heart to get in touch with you. And he does, and he says, listen, God told me I'm supposed to help you. What's going on? And so you tell this rich uncle, well, I borrowed $100,000 from my friend. And that was a year ago. I don't have the money and blah, blah, blah. And he says, look, God told me to help you. I'm going to wire you $120,000 in the mail. I'm just going to wire it to your bank. Okay? What's that do to your heart? You know your uncle's got the money. You know he's a man of integrity. You know he's not pulling your leg. You automatically go from, to, you begin to act different. You begin to rest because you have the answer. You have the promise. I'll wire the money. We get off the phone, I'll wire it to your bank. Your heart responds in a good way because you know this uncle. He's going to do exactly what he says. And so what's happening when that happens? You relax, you rest, you breathe again. You're like, okay, I can see outside of this. This is going to be awesome. Thank you. Many people will be like, thank you, God. Which obviously God told the uncle, so yes, that'd be right to say. But you can stop running. You can stop planning on where it's coming from. You know where it's coming from. So in the natural, the only thing you have is a promise and a word. But you believe it and you receive it. All your uncle said is, I'll wire it today. So in the natural, you hear it. You know he's a man of his word. You know the money's coming. So because you believe it, your belief system, your heart, rests. I've got my answer. I've got the money. No money has exchanged, but you know it's coming. This is what I'm trying to get you to see. When God makes you a promise, by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed, past tense. I am the Lord who heals you. He heals all of your diseases. There's all kinds of scripture with that. When you hear that word, you should believe your Father. I don't care how he does it. I don't care how, you know, do you really care? I mean, think about Jesus did different things. He spits in mud, puts it on some guy's eye. And there's people that were offended at that. Huh. Do you know if you were blind and Jesus was having some kind of a mud healing, you'd be like, put it right here. Right here, go ahead. Because, You're going to get healed. You don't care. That's God's doing. Whatever. God, how do you want me to, you know, name it? Go dip seven times. I don't want to dip seven times. Okay. But if he didn't, he doesn't get healed. But if he does, no more leprosy. Stretch your arm out. They don't get, I mean, she's not dead. She's just sleeping. Lazarus, come forth. I mean, whatever God, that's whatever he wants to do, let him do it. That's his job. My job is to believe and receive before I see it. See, when I know that I believed, I've received, it's done. When I go deer hunting and I've already sown a seed, I'm believing God for a 10-point buck, an 8-point buck, 4-point, whatever I'm believing for, I don't go there going, I hope it shows up. You know what I do? I go there and go, when it shows up, where do I want to be? Where's the firing lane? That's how I look at it. When I had land out on High Point Road when we first started this church 18-some years ago, and we hadn't moved in here yet, I was pastoring an Assembly of God church, and I had a guy show up, and he's a friend. He used to come to church here. Now they moved to South Carolina, but he said, I got kids to feed. I need 2 deer. I don't care if they're doe. I don't care. And I said, do you want me to shoot them or do you want to shoot them? Now, if you're a woman and you're saying, you're brutal, forgive me. I'm just trying to feed a family. So anyway, he said, Pastor, I don't care. He said, I know if you're believing for it, they're going to come right to you. And so go ahead. I said, all right. So he went over there. He wasn't gone like 10 minutes. And 2 doe came right up and goes, hi. So all he hears is, bang, bang. And he comes walking over. He goes, where are they? I said, right over there. Yeah, that's what we were doing. That we just, God, what do you want? If you say it, that's all I need. I know what's going to happen. It's finished. I don't have to try to run somewhere else. Say if you need a healing, I don't have to go everywhere across the United States to have a... Now, certainly healing does flow through certain individuals, and there are gifts of healing and gifts of miracles. Thank you, Jesus, for those. But do you know this? Now, listen to me. I'm kind of off my notes, but it's good. Those kind of things are wonderful because they're from God. But those don't always keep you healed. Because if you're not grounded in the Word, the enemy's coming. It's not if he's coming. See how quiet that is? Nobody likes to hear that, but he's coming. And he's coming after that word. And if you can be swayed, that's why stuff comes back. I'm not saying everybody gets swayed that happens. Don't need any hate mail. I'm just trying to be honest with the, you have to be so grounded in the spot of what you're fighting that can't be breached. Does that make sense? Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who is the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising shame, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of eternal life to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Hebrews 4:11, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone... fall according to the same examples of disobedience. So which is it? I mean, we fight, we labor, or we rest. The labor and the fight is in the time of the when you believe and you speak it until the time it shows up. You have to rest in that time, and that's where the fight happens. You have to just believe it's done. And sometimes that's harder. Isn't it easier to just tell somebody, if you're going through it, it's harder? When it's you, it is. Because then it's easier to give instruction to somebody else and say, all you got to do is this. But when it's you, it's a little different. The moment we believed we received, then the enemy wants that battle. But that's where we have to rest. You decide what you put in your brain. You decide what you're going to battle. I need to stay in that place of rest. between the time of amen, which means so be it, and the time it shows up. The time I believed I received and the time it happens. I don't have to fight something that's already won unless I choose to. You see, somebody can't take your peace unless you give it to them. You don't have to get offended unless you get offended. That's not always easy. The battle's between your ears. Take those thoughts captive. The devil is a liar. That's why I tell you, write it down. I will have this written down. Well, actually, I already did. James 4 talks about it, but I'll have it written down. It's in my office. And it has the time that I believed. PK already knows about it. Hey, I'm sowing seed today, and this is what I'm believing for. She goes, okay. So we believe we receive at the time I said. We released it. It's done. So then the battle of the rest comes. You just want to rest in it, and the enemy doesn't want you to rest because he wants you to be double-minded, because if you're double-minded, you get nothing. But you don't have to be double-minded. Nope. On this day, at this time, I believe I received. It's finished. Thank you, God. I thank you, Lord. And then I picture what I'm believing for that's happened. And it will happen. Here's a word we don't like. Patience. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm not so good at it. That time frame of the meantime when something's waiting to happen. Patience. James 1, 2, and 4, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Luke says this, 18:17, assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. So Brett, why are you putting that in there? Because that's what I love. My grandson is turning five tomorrow. Our grandson is turning five tomorrow. John and Debbie and Johnny and Uncle Johnny's back there. So turning five tomorrow, but the party's today, and he's so excited. But you know what's great about kids? They just believe. They don't have to know the things like we know, because we get all of our adult, reasoning, our emotions, all of the natural things. But kids are just like, they just believe. And he is so fun to watch. His face lights up. He's just so fun. So Jesus is saying, you can learn from these little guys and gals. I would tell my kids that I always keep my promises, and I'm a direct reflection of God the Father to my children. I'd tell them, like I'd say to Mallory and Zach and Sam and Maddie, we're going to the park. They were just little. Mal was, if you're new, she is the one that led worship. We're going to go to the park. And they'd quickly ask us, do you promise? And if I said yes, then it was a done deal, because Daddy always keeps his promises. And they, to them, it was a sure thing. Were we at the park yet? Mm-mm. Had we left yet? Nope. Was I even getting ready? Not yet. But as far as they're concerned, we're going to the park. It was as good as anything because I had promised. They would start dreaming of going down the slide. They'd start dreaming of the monkey bars and who could go. Dad, time us. Okay. Me pushing them in the swings while my wife would say, not too high. You remember those things? Do they still have those where you could do this? You pull, I don't know what kind of those were. And you push them out and pull them back, push them out and pull them out, you know, and do all that. I would try to tell my kids, we had those when we were growing up. And they're looking at me like, what? We also had those slides that were like 20 feet tall, made of stainless steel, that would burn the skin off your legs if you slid down them. Like, who invented that? Would be terrible. Anyway, but they would have all these, oh, we're going to do that. They'd start thanking me. We hadn't even left yet. We hadn't even gotten to the car. I would hear for the next whenever. Daddy, are we ready to go? When are we going? Are we going after lunch? Are we going before lunch? Daddy, when are we going? They'd tell their friends, Dad's taking us to the park. Their friends could say, your dad's not taking you to the park. He is not going. He's just saying that. He's just saying that to keep you quiet. We hadn't got to the park, but they received the promise of the park. They have it. They're excited. Mallory would just tell them, you hide and watch. My daddy said, we're going to the park. We're going to the park. She might even work her neck. As far as my kids, they were just like, They're all about the park because I had promised. I'd go and I'd be looking, I'd getting ready, and I'd mouth, this is what she's doing. She's got a bonnet on. She's got a basket. She's putting things in the basket. She's just like little. This might even have been before Maddie. Maddie would probably own the park. But anyway, but Mal's putting stuff in. She's going in the kitchen and she's getting stuff out of the refrigerator, putting it in the basket. She's all about planning the park. A blanket's got to go in there because, Daddy, we have to have a picnic. Little teacup's going to go in there because I have to have tea at the park. Everybody knows Dad has to have tea at the park. But she is, that's what I'm trying to get you to understand, because of the promise, she's already there. She's making things happen because we're going to go. That's what God is trying to get to you. Your father has promised you good health. He has promised you prosperity. He's promised. Then you have to start believing what he said and start rejoicing and resting in that and doing the laws that he's telling you in the kingdom, just being good about with your finances and all. I mean, don't be a... We just have to be smart. I mean, just ask the Lord. You can follow him and just be smart. I'm asking him if he wants me to say something. It's just a matter of time before I load the kids in the car. You see, when we believe something, we act different because we already have it. We believe it's coming. We already have it. We've already received it. So it's great. If I knew I was going over to my sister's house and she said, hey, if you come over, I can't wait till you get here because I am making, and she names a dish I like, which could be many. And she's like, and I'm making this. I'd be like, oh, I'm going to her house. Heck or high water is not keeping me from her house because I know that that's coming. I've received the promise already. We'd get to Charlotte's when we lived far away when we was pastoring east side of Columbus. And I would tell the boys, I'd say, now when we get out of the car, grandma's been cooking, so you smell. And of course, girls probably don't care as much as boys, but boys, you know, we're hound dogs, you know, so the boys get out of the car, man, they're like, and they're like, oh, and I said, what do you smell? Zach says, turkey. And Sam says, she's going to have potatoes and gravy. And I said, yeah, she will. She'll have those big noodles. Oh, yeah, she'll have those big noodles. Oh, she'll have, yeah, she's going to have that. Those big rolls. Oh, yeah, she's going to have those big rolls. She'll have baked, oh, yeah, she'll have that. Man, they are already slobbering. Because they know when they get to grandma's house, it's going to be on. The feast is going to be on, and they're just excited about it. I didn't have to convince them because they've been to, listen, grandma's house and grandpa's house time and time again. How often do we go to Father God? If we've been there time and time again, we can have that same experience. Oh, God, you're so good. I'm so glad to be in your presence. I'm so glad I already have that answer. You've already provided for it, and I want to thank you for it right now. Matthew 12, 34b says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's the second part of that. So what you say is important. The weak say I'm strong. The sick say I'm healed. Be like Mallory. From the time you believed, you heard it, you believed it, you received it, it's done. It's done. We're going. Daddy promised. You're healed, Daddy said. Romans 4:17 is written, I've made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls things which do not exist as though they did. You don't have to, you're not living in denial. It's how you respond. If you're, say your leg is broke, you don't have to say it's not broke. You can just say, yeah, my God's healing it supernaturally quick. I speak to those bones. I speak to those ligaments. You know, I wasn't saying, people's like, why are you walking like that? Because I like it. No, because my back was out. And they said, well, what can we do? I said, you don't have to do anything. I said, he's already done it. And I just, it matters what you speak. Put the enemy to flight. Your healing, do you understand that Jesus already died for everything you need? everything has already been provided for. He's not recreating, well, you need a special healing. I didn't know anything about COVID. I didn't know anything about this. No, it's already been provided. We just have to believe we receive and move with that. God, that's what your word says. I'm good. I don't have to have 17 confirmations. I know there's people that are like, I need God to confirm this. I need him to do this and this and this. I just need God to tell him. If he tells me, I'm good. That's it. See, to us, some things seem brand new. But to God, does it ever occur to you nothing ever occurs to God? Think about that. If they did a roll call, God's there everywhere. God, here. Just relax and begin to let your faith do the talking. Now, they're going to turn on some music, and we're going to just get real here for just a second. Those that are watching online and those that are in here today, I know for me, this has been a journey, and I'm not saying I have it all down. I'm working just like you. But I've found God to ever and always be true. I've seen things that I'm just like, did that just happen? Oh my word. This is a kingdom that specific from whether it's deer or healing or whatever. I remember praying for a lady. Well, she brought her son up. And her son had about the size of my, not quite the size of my fist, but bigger than a golf ball, but not as big as a hard ball on the back of his neck. And I couldn't see it when he walked up. And she just came up, said, I need you to pray. Pastor, would you pray? And I said, sure, what's going on? And she just grabbed her boy and turned him around, and man, there it was. And she said, We've been to the doctor. They're not sure what it is. They're going to do biopsy. They're going to do whatever. And we just need that gone. And I didn't even know all the things I know now. And I still have more to learn. But I said, do you believe that God wants that gone? And she said, I do. And I asked her son, I said, look at me. And he looked at me, and you could tell. I mean, he was probably like 14. And I said, do you believe that? And his eyes looked like, I'm just scared. And I said, so I did the like one of these, you know. I said, you believe I'm telling you the truth? He said, yeah. I said, if I believed with you, and your mom believes, your dad believes. Now listen, you know what I'm doing? I'm setting the grounds for authority. Because his mom and dad have authority. He's 14, but he still has some authority in his life, but I need him to believe. He said, yeah. I said, well, let's just believe that's taken care of. Why don't you turn around, and can you picture it gone? I remember putting my hands on that, and I mean, it was, I'll tell you what it was like. It was almost like a cue ball, about like that size. Almost like if you're a dude and a shifter in a car. It was kind of like, I mean, just like I could put almost my hand around that. And I put it on this thing, and I don't remember the words I prayed, but I remember my hand going down. And I remember the mother going, oh! And the kids stand there. He goes, something's happening. And I took my hand off, and it was gone. And the mother just started crying, and the father was just like, and there were people like gasping. They said, did you see that? Because God's plan is to make you whole. He already died for it. To live that way. That little boy, 14 years old, man, that fist bump afterwards, he was like, he hugged me, and I'm like, This is my, you know what my role is? I have the authority because God gave it to me, and so do you. I have the anointing because God gave it to me, so do you. I have the ability because God gave it to me, so do you. You know what I was? If there's a live battery and there's a dead battery, I'm the jumper cable that's connected to the live battery. I'm going to connect it to the dead battery and go, hit it! Claire. That's what we do. Because people need God. They just need God. And we've always put him in this box. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes?